prayer about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. All of Psalm 112. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, who is present, who lives inside of us, but who guides us, counsels us, encourages us. And thank you for the wonderful and the powerful ministry of your Holy Spirit working in us day by day. Thank you again for the gift of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word is you and you're your word. And your word guides us, blesses us, encourages us, ministers to us, and does so, so much more. Thank you for the privilege of being able to spend time with you in your word daily. And thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you each and every day, any time of the day, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of we, your children. Father, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Help us to be believers that move in the power of your Holy Spirit more and more in our lives and as a lifestyle. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson, our producer, is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your commands. And thank you so much that you call us to do things that bring life. Father, thank you so much that we can spend today some time in your word, some time seeking your will. Father, I ask that you would give us courage, that you'd give us boldness, that you'd give us strength to walk more as stewards in your kingdom. Father, this is all yours. And Father, we just want to give back what you've already given to us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to keep reminding you of an upcoming part of the Ten Commandments Project. Of course, you probably hear us speak about that pretty often here on the broadcast. The overall project is an ongoing project. It's a discipleship project, especially geared towards young people and children. Of course, remember the Ten Commandments contain the moral law of God, which doesn't change. It's true. It was true when God first gave it on Mount Sinai, and it's just as true today. Our job is to listen to its counsel and wisdom and live according to its counsel and wisdom. But also, the Ten Commandments is a wonderful tool for discipling our children, teaching them the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, and the standards of God as well. Well, on an ongoing basis, part of the project is such that if a young person simply memorizes the Ten Commandments, and if they'll recite it to you, dad or mom, or maybe to a Sunday school teacher, but you recite it by memory, what we need from you is a phone call. You can give us a call at 662-844-5036. My extension is extension 381. We just need the size and the mailing address to send the Ten Commandments t-shirt to that young person. We'll be glad to do that as a free gift for the fact that they did memorize the Ten Commandments. And, of course, obviously we're trusting you, dad or mom, that they memorize all of them. And keep in mind, it's very important that they really do memorize all of them, because the fact is our children are smart. They're more than able to do all kinds of things, including memorizing them. But remember, amongst other things, one of the one aspect of the project is you're planting the powerful word of God in the hearts and the minds of our children. We live in a world that's trying to swallow our children alive. We see so many destructive forces working in the lives of children today. God's word is pure light. And so as we take time and the opportunity to disciple our children, and in the midst of discipling them, help to plant the word of God in their hearts and their minds, this will help them tremendously. So that's one part of the Ten Commandments Project. Coming up in the month of June, the project actually gets underway June 1st and goes to June 30th, but is our Ten Commandments Speech Challenge. It's a project whereby, and we've been doing this for a few years, and each year, probably in some ways it's getting better and better, but we've had a number of young people to rise to the challenge. Basically, the goal is they'll take the topic, and this year, the first commandment is the topic for the speech. You shall have no other gods before me, a commandment about putting God first in every area of life. And we're asking you to put together a speech. And of course, the goal would be that you would do your homework, your Bible homework, as well as do your research to put it together. We're asking each participant to write a speech or have someone to help you write the speech. And we suggest it be 3 to 5 minutes. And keep in mind, you can record it with your cell phone or any other means that you may have. And we're asking you to send the recording to faq@afa.net or to jparker@afa.net with the Ten Commandments speech, the Ten Commandments Project speech as the subject line. And if you need help writing your speech, we're glad to help you with that too. You can give us a call. My number here at AFR is 662-844-5036, extension 381. We're asking again that you would, parents, that you'd encourage your young people to get involved. Grandparents, you can help maybe encourage your grandchildren to get involved, or maybe youth directors or those that work with young people, or just young persons that you know, maybe a nephew or a niece. But it's a great discipleship project because it does involve them digging deeper into the Word of God in putting together a speech that helps them to share, to articulate truth that our culture really does need to hear. And so we look forward to receiving the speeches. And I believe last year we ended up with 57 speeches from young people from different parts of our nation. And we were grateful for every single one. I want to remind you, too, that one of our goals is, and typically all the young people don't manage to work this out, but we're grateful to have as many of the young people and their parents that would like to get them on a broadcast, to be able to share their speech, share maybe what they learned, how they grew through the putting together of the speech, and let the parents share about maybe what they may have observed in their child, their son or the daughter, as they went through the process of walking through the journey of putting the speech together, recording the speech, and sending it in to us. So if you parents and your young person want to be on a broadcast, we'd like to get them on one. So we're looking forward to the many young folks that will participate this year. And if you have questions, you're certainly welcome to call us, or you can certainly email me. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. But it's a fun project, but at the same time, your son or daughter will grow significantly through participating in the project. So we hope that you will prayerfully consider encouraging them to get involved, or to any young folks that are listening, we hope that you'll prayerfully consider plugging in and getting involved as well. Today, we're looking in the Word of God at the topic, the wonderful gift of God's Word. Now, let me say this too. I've had the privilege of being a pastor almost 50 years now. It's pretty close. But one of the great needs I've observed down through the years in some of the with some of the congregations I've had the privilege of serving is there's always a need for every believer to grow to where they understand the great need to be a real student of Scripture. Reading and meditating on God's Word is so important. It's so important to everything in the Christian life. Now, if a person lives in a nation where, sadly, it may be illegal to own a copy of the Scriptures, or it may be the Bible or a copy of the Scriptures may be scarce, well, that's a tragedy, but God wants you to make the most of what you may have. But we live in a culture here where typically people have several Bibles. But the sad reality is sometimes you have people that may have several Bibles in their home, and too often, some of those Bibles are simply collecting dust. They're not being read like they should. Let me challenge every single listener to get very serious about your daily habit of reading and studying God's Word every day. I do not have the ability to overemphasize how important that time is. The fact is, it's much more important than any of us fully grasp. Remember, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the Word of God. And when you're reading your Bible, you're spending time one-on-one with Jesus Christ. And remember, when you're spending that time reading and meditating on Scripture and spending time one-on-one with Christ, remember, you may, in your mind, you're thinking, well, you're reading your Bible, and yes, you are, but Jesus is reading you. He's molding and shaping you. He's helping you to become more and more like Him. He works on your heart and your mind in the midst of your time of reading and studying so that you're never the same person on the other side of the time you spent in the Word of God. So the more you spend time in God's Word, the more Jesus has the opportunity to spend time, the more you have the opportunity to spend time in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the more time and opportunity He has to mold and to shape you to become more like Him. Yes, the time you spend in the Word of God is much more valuable and productive than any of us fully grasp. So if you don't already have the habit of reading no less than 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a good day to start that habit. But on the other hand, if you're one who you're already reading the Word and maybe you're already doing 3 chapters, if you're already doing that, I would encourage you, increase it to 4, maybe 5 chapters. But the fact is, you can't get too much Word. It'll just bless you more, encourage you more, strengthen you more. In fact, it's wise to think of the Bible as being literally a bottle of grace. And it's as if every day God's question is, how much do you want? So yes, spending time in God's Word all by itself is so productive. It blesses you. Remember, God's Word is pregnant with the ability to bless you. It's full of grace. It's full of light. It's full of joy. It's full of peace, full of power. And when you're reading and studying it, you're pouring these things into your heart and your mind. Psalm 1 tells us these words, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I think it's very helpful for us to understand this, to remember this. The Holy Spirit, amongst other things, he's the hand of God. And remember, the Holy Spirit permeates the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's as if you're holding Jesus' hand. And you know, a wise way to live life is to be continually holding Jesus' hand. So the fact is, we don't have the ability to spend too much time in God's Word. It'll just bless us more, encourage us more, and strengthen us more. Father, thank you for the chance to be in your Word every day. Anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be the diligent students of your Word daily that you'd have us to be, and help us to teach and train our children to get into your Word daily as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, the wonderful gift of God's Word. We'll be right back.
Into the deepness, this heart of mine, it's you. It's you, Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line. Forever, roll to crescendo, goodbye limbo. Like a new day dawning, show me the window where I can see it's you. Then everything else just falls in line. You, you will always hold this heart of mine. It's you, it's you, Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line.
Music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the wonderful gift of God's Word. And an ongoing goal for us here on the Hour of Intercession broadcast is to encourage you to become a diligent student of God's Word, a believer that reads and meditates on Scripture significantly every day. And also that you be one who regularly encourages others to do the same. If you're a parent, our goal is to encourage you to start the habit of having each of your children to read at least three chapters aloud to you. And even if your children are young, if they're new readers, reading some of the shorter Psalms, maybe Psalm 1, Psalm 100, Psalm 23, reading it, going through it three times, that's a very fruitful thing for any young child that reads. And even for a child that doesn't yet read, allowing them to repeat Psalm 23 or Psalm 100 aloud to you, that word filtering through your child's mind and heart is so productive. It's so productive. Remember, when they're repeating the word of God, Jesus is touching your little one. And the fact is, nothing will bless your child more than when the word of God touches their life. So I would encourage you, make it a goal to allow time in the Word of God to be a critical part of every aspect of your family's life. Every day, the Word of God should be read and recited in your home, because that'll bless every individual in your home, and it'll bless the spiritual atmosphere of your home as well. So again, today we're looking at the topic, the wonderful gift of God's Word. And as I mentioned, if you don't already have the habit of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day, today is a good and a great day to start that very helpful habit. I want to take time now to read Psalm 19. And let me remind you, too, you know, in the Word of God, specifically in the book of Psalms, two of the key themes in the book of Psalms are worshiping God and the wonderful gift of the Word of God as well. And so just to mention this, just a few of the Psalms that especially focus on the wonderful gift of God's Word include Psalm 1, Psalm 19, Psalm 112, Psalm 119 as well. And those aren't the only ones, but those are some of the key ones that I would mention to you as well. But we're going to take time now to read Psalm 19, which also is another Psalm focusing on actually both worshiping God and the wonderful gift of the Word of God. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Verses 1 through 14, all of Psalm 19. Again, the word of God, again, some of the key points in this particular psalm draw out just some of the unique ways the word of God is both a gift and a blessing to our lives. Let me just kind of reemphasize, picking up at verse 7 again in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure. The commandments of the Lord is pure. Excuse me, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Verses 7 to 11, Psalm 19. Thank you again, Father, for your word, and thank you for the ways in which, as we read and meditate on your word, you're molding us and shaping us to become more and more like you. You're strengthening us as believers, and we are growing in our understanding of who you are. We're drawing closer to you as we spend that time. More and more help us to grow as believers in understanding how important our time daily with you in your word really, really is. And help us in the midst of a busy life and a busy world to never get so busy that we don't make it the high priority of our day to spend time with you in your word and in prayer. Thank you for that opportunity. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, let me mention too, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the word of God. And this particular psalm, of course, it specifically has, 176 verses in it. It's a long psalm. We're going to take time to go through at least a portion of it. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. That was verses 1 through 24, Psalm 119. And again, as I mentioned, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in all of the Word of God. Again, it's a total of 176 verses in that one division of the book of Psalms. But just about every other verse, just about every other line alludes to the Word of God and the unique gift and the power in God's Word. So when you have time, I want to encourage you and challenge you to take time to read the entire Psalm, Psalm 119. It'll bless you and it can greatly encourage you in growing in your, helping you to grow in your understanding of what a gift, what a powerful and wonderful gift God's Word is. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity for us to read and meditate on your Word daily. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you'll spend as much time with us as we will spend with you. And help us to know, Lord, that time in your Word is never, ever wasted time. It's time whereby we'll be blessed, edified, encouraged, and strengthened in our faith. More and more, help us to be believers that are wise enough to make it the priority in our lives every day that you would have it to be. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to look with us now in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 to 42, Luke chapter 10. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this unique and powerful instance in the Gospels that a family that you loved and spent time with, you were able to spend time with them, teaching them. And Lord, thank you for the message and the messages within this short account. More and more, help us to be wise enough to make time in your word the priority, the high priority you would have each of us to make in our lives each and every day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we find in this interesting and yet unique account in Scripture where the Lord Jesus was visiting the home of two sisters, Martha and Mary, he along with his 12 disciples. And note what takes place. Martha is doing what one might would expect, often expect a hostess to do, probably cooking, cleaning, preparing a big meal for her house full of guests. But note what Mary is doing. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. Very interesting to note that. Again, verse 39 says, and she had a sister, this is speaking of Mary, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Martha's doing all the preparation for all her house guests, and at some point she realizes, looks around and notices her sister is not helping her. What is Mary doing? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word. Note what the next verse says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. In other words, to be distracted is to be pulled away from the more important thing. And the scripture doesn't say that Mary is the one that's distracted. It says that Martha is the one that's distracted. Note verse 40 again. It says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." So in other words, Martha, when she realizes her sister's not helping her, she's not happy. And she goes and she looks like she almost kind of scolds Jesus too and wants her to tell her sister to get up and help her. But notice the Lord's reaction. And verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. One of the many messages within this short passage is, in a world where all of us can be so busy all the time with so many things to do, every believer is called to make it a high priority to sit at the feet of Jesus, listen to him, learn from him, commune with him, spend time with him. That's a very important goal for every believer all the time. So if you're not spending time in the Word daily, today is a good day to start. And remember, when you're reading and studying Scripture, you're spending time at the feet of Jesus. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to make this the priority you'd have us to make it. Spending time daily at your feet, reading and meditating on your Word, listening to you, praying with you, communing with you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking at the topic, the wonderful gift of God's Word. We'll be right back. Music from Planet Shakers with The Kingdom of God. Thanks for listening. I'm sorry, Heaven on Earth is the name of that song. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we're looking today at the topic specifically, the wonderful gift of God's Word. And our encouragement to you is that today, if you don't already have the great and very productive habit of reading at least three chapters in the Word of God every day, today is a good day, a great day to start that habit. If you're already doing that, I would encourage you, increase how much you're reading every single day. It'll bless you more and more. If you can follow along with us, we invite you to look with us now in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. As we continue to look at the topic, the wonderful gift of God's Word, keep in mind, God's Word tells us in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One of the many ways God's Word blesses us, strengthens us, and equips us for life is it helps us to grow in faith and to grow in the strength of our faith. And it's important that we know that the Bible lets us know in Hebrews 11 that we're going to read in just a few moments. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So apparently, having faith and functioning by faith is extremely important in the life of every single believer. So daily, it should be our goal to read and meditate on God's Word, and amongst other things, grow in our faith and grow in our understanding of how to put our faith to work. So we're going to take time now to read Hebrews chapter 11, what some may often refer to as the faith chapter. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. That was verses 1 through 22. Hebrews chapter 11, a portion of Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, once again, thank you for the opportunity to grow in our understanding of the critical place faith is to have in the life of every single believer. And thank you for the truth that every day we spend time reading and meditating on your word, our faith literally can grow, and thus we can live a life more and more pleasing to you as we live and function by faith. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to grow an understanding of why faith is so important, to better understand that you've let us know that without faith, it's impossible to please you. Help us, Lord, to live, walk, and move daily by faith, and thus live a life pleasing and honoring to you more and more. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Going to take time now specifically to share an article, as we often do. And remember, the article is an article that we shared that we wrote and put on the AFA stand. If you'd like to get a copy, just email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. The title of this article is "A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith." Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Again, Hebrews 11:6. And then Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The righteous shall live by faith." Is the word of God true? Of course it's true. It's the word of God, and his word is truth, and God always keeps his word. Well, if it is true, I am called to believe that it's true, and I'm called to act like it's true, and to live a life acting on the Bible, the word of God's truth. Why would this be true? Well, this is true because living a life of faith is to hear the word of God so we can believe and live like it's true. Faith follows the word of God because faith trusts and obeys. It spells out very clearly that walking in faith is tremendously important to everything in the Christian life. The word of God tells us, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So it's impossible to please God without faith. And a critically important part of faith or expression of faith is obedience. Simply hearing the word of God and obeying it is a part of living a life of faith. Romans 1:17, as well as other passages, tell us, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Again, Romans 1:17. So we see we are commanded to live by faith. So in view of the truth that without faith we cannot please God, and by his command the just shall live by faith, we need to clearly understand a very important truth. Faith and living by it are extremely important to every believer everywhere. So every believer would be wise to decide to become a lifelong student of faith. In other words, we would be wise to continually seek to build our faith and to continually learn more and more about faith and how to apply our faith, how to put our faith to work in our lives and in our world. The Word of God lets us know that every believer has some faith. Romans 12:3 lets us know that. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So every believer has a measure of faith. Yet we're wise to understand that our faith can grow and increase according to the Word of God. And it should continually be a goal for all believers to grow and develop our faith to become stronger and stronger. Romans 10:17 lets us know how faith can grow when it says, "So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God." So then a believer can grow and increase in his or her faith by reading, studying, and meditating on the word of God. Faith is trust and belief that the Bible, the word of God, is true. And we live a life of faith as we trust the word of God and live a lifestyle of acting on the word of God. "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened to them." Hebrews 4:2. Reading that verse again. "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Again, Hebrews 4:2. Keep in mind that living a life of faith is a life in which you need to know how to turn the switch of faith on in your life. In other words, it's important to know how to activate and focus your faith and use it to overcome the challenges you face in life. In the challenges we face every day in our lives, whether we win or lose a battle is dependent on putting your faith to work effectively. Knowing how to use and apply your faith makes all the difference in the world. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Again, 1 John 5:4. If we want to live a victorious Christian life, we need to put our faith to work in our lives every day of our lives. This is how we live a life that pleases God and that builds the kingdom of God. Read and meditate on God's word every day. Learn to stand on the promises of God's word and speak the promises of God's word every day. Grow in your understanding that God and his word can be trusted. You and I are wise to decide to be students in the school of faith who learn more and more how to use our faith. Why? Because one of our goals is to grow in our knowledge of how to live a life that pleases and honors God. And this is a life of faith and trust in him. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." Amen. Again, 2 Peter 3:18. Let's be lifelong students of faith who never graduate. Let's keep learning and growing in faith and knowledge of him. Again, the title of that article, "A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith." If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you my whole life. Help me to read the word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you and follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you did pray and receive Christ, we're wanting to very much to be in touch with you. Let me remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please do get in touch with us again at that email, joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we're looking forward to connecting with you again, joseph@afr.net. Today, we were looking at the topic, the wonderful gift of God's Word. And once again, if you're not reading at least 3 chapters in the Word of God every day, today is a good day, a great day to start that very helpful habit. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.